Hello, everybody, and happy Monday. We are back after a much needed, well, I would say break for Memorial Day, but I don't know about you, but our Memorial Day has been, not Memorial Day, all of May has been Maycember.
Yes.
Is what we've been calling it. Lots of graduations, lots of celebrations. We went to a wedding yesterday. It was a lot of fun. But anyway, we are back in the groove today, and we are so excited to be with you. We hope that you would share this podcast with somebody, just the first person that God puts on your heart. Just send it to him. Just hit the share button. You can text it to him. You can, if you're watching on Facebook, share it to your Facebook page, because this topic that we're going to be talking about today is great. Not only that, we believe that you should get a pen and paper, a journal, something to write with, and your Bible, because this is very much Bible study. We're going to dive right into the Word, and I just love this platform. I love getting to reach out to our online community. So we want you to comment all your questions. Let us know where you're watching from. Just say hi. Just be personable. We like that. We like to be friendly.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can write comments, and they actually pop up on the screen here, mm-hmm. So we get to see them. So the Can kids, say hi. We love the Canterbury kids. They're awesome. Some of our favorite people. I want to let you guys know, too, like, we're trying to get you geared up and ready for things to come, ready for growth, ready for awesome things happening with the podcast. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to teach you how to interact with us as we share. You're welcome to type comments, you know, where you're from. But also, if you have any kind of questions that arise, you're welcome to share those. But here in a few months, August 24th, Andrew Womack is actually going to be on our podcast
with us. Yeah, it's going to be great.
So we're going to do it live, and we're trying to teach everyone how to be very interactive, so we have just a great experience when he's here. And I think as we get geared up for it, we'll have, just keep building from our awesome people that are connected right now. Hello to Melissa.
Hey, Melissa.
We're glad you're on right now. This is something that we've been talking about lately, this topic. How God just uses ordinary believers, and how we need to be hearing from him and just being led by him on a all the time basis.
Yeah.
You know, not just once a week, not just when you're planning to, go share, but always be open to what God's doing in the given moment. And we're going to kind of talk about that, how God just uses ordinary people and ordinary places, ordinary situations to minister to people, to touch people's heart. Like he wants to interact with people, he wants to minister to people, but he needs our help. He's the one that does it. The Holy Spirit does it, but we have to lay hold of, join hands with him.
It doesn't matter your age either.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes we I'm a very spiritual person. I know you are. We have a lot of people who very in tune with what God's saying. But sometimes we can actually over-spiritualize things that should just be very normal and mm-hmm. very simple and very just part of
supernatural.
Yeah. And I was thinking about it. We'll talk about this, but how when Saul, encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, he was just sent to an ordinary disciple's house, Ananias.
Yeah.
And Ananias didn't even want to talk to Saul.
Yeah. Would you want to talk to Saul?
No. And I was actually just talking to our children's pastor, Pastor Lynn Bloss. She told me how something like this kind of happened to her recently. She was just shopping at Sam's, and just every aisle she went down, there's the same mom and two little girls, just every single aisle. And the little girls were really cranky and loud and being kind of obnoxious. And, Lynn's a great children's pastor, but sometimes when you're off the clock, you don't want to be around what you're around at work. So she was, just said that they just kept on being in every single aisle. They checked out at the same time. They ended up going to their cars, parked right next to each other at the same time. And this woman, and Lynn was kind of wondering, maybe God wants me to talk to this woman. And actually this woman came and approached Lynn. And Lynn said, "This has never happened to me." But this woman came up and said, "I noticed those protein bars you have in your cart." Lynn was buying it for her husband. "Are they any good?" And Lynn just said, "No one's ever just approached me asking me about something that's in my cart." And Lynn just said, "Yeah, my husband really likes them." And that's kind of the end of the conversation. The woman just went back to her car to load everything up. And Lynn just felt, I should really go just say something to her. And she just said, "You know what? You're a great mom. I have two girls. They're older than yours now, but they're kind of similar dynamic when they were growing up, my two youngest girls." And She said, I want you to know that you're a great mom. And it just really touched that woman's heart. She said, you don't know how much that means to me. Like, my husband's gone right now, and was just very overwhelmed. And it just really touched her heart. And something kind of similar happened to you recently, too, with our waitress at Cheddar's.
Oh, yeah. But first, I want to say hi to Brian and hi to Dakota. We're glad that you're here.
Yeah. So I was telling Lynn, this is kind of interesting because, you know, God used Ananias, who's just an ordinary
disciple. Is there any
disciple,
other mention
of him? But God sent Saul to him. No, that's the only time he's mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I thought.
In Acts 9. So we'll talk about that. But, you know, God told Ananias, I'm sending this Saul to come to you. You need to pray for him and that he might receive his sight. And Ananias didn't want to meet with him, but, you know, Jesus had told Saul that you're to go to Damascus, go to a street called Straight, mm-hmm. and find Ananias, just, you know. And Ananias, you know, led Saul to the Lord. I believe he was filled with the Holy Spirit, water baptized through the ministry of Ananias. And he was just a certain disciple. He wasn't one of the apostles. Wasn't...
I love that the Bible calls him a certain disciple. Mm-hmm. Like, whether people realize it or not, you are a certain disciple. Like, mm-hmm. everyone is precious to God. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a special purpose for him. He wants to use everyone for a special reason, mm-hmm. for a certain reason. And he is a certain disciple. And I think it's so important to remember that you're special to God.
Yeah, and sometimes we think, you know, well, a pastor needs to do this, or a great worship leader, or
all
someone with
time.
All this talent. And yeah, sometimes God tries to use me just as an ordinary person to talk to a neighbor, to talk to
somebody at the park.
Yeah, whatever. like when I'm fathering, when I'm parenting my children, mm-hmm. I'm not Pastor Aaron to them. I'm dad.
It blesses me tremendously to see, like, as a pastor, to see our church family, like, walk in their calling and do something for God and just minister to people wherever they're
at. Even with our youth, it's
really
powerful to see.
It blesses me so much. And I think that pastors that have a tendency to put all of the importance on themselves, mm-hmm. like, that's just, not only is that wrong, that's exhausting. Mm-hmm. Like, first of all, we can't. Like, we're only one person. We can't visit every person in the hospital. We can't go pray for everyone in their emergency situation. We can't, mm-hmm. One person can't do that. Mm-hmm. And it just blesses me. Like,
even
of our
Jesus
church,
couldn't do it when he was
right. A member of our church just had to go to the emergency room. And she texted me during service yesterday, and she said somebody paid her entire emergency room bill. Mm. And of course, I was being nosy. I was like, who was it? Tell me who it was. She was like, I can't tell you who it was. I was like, okay, but I just need to know, is it somebody who, like, knew you and, like, knew? I mean, obviously, they knew that she had been through some stuff, but it was a certain disciple, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And that just blessed me so much, because I told her, I said, I just knew that somebody was gonna come through and, like, pay this mm-hmm. thing. But that's how that's why the whole body of Christ is important, to come together in a house of worship, like, be dedicated to one church for a prolonged period of time so people can get to know you, and then you can get to know other people, mm-hmm. because God wants to get people to help you, and then he also wants to use you to help other people, mm-hmm. you know? And it just blessed me so much to know that somebody paid that. And I know it blessed her, because she doesn't have to worry about it anymore. Mm-hmm. But I just think that people need to realize that they are a certain disciple, mm-hmm. you know? So we need to act like it.
Yeah. And also we're going to get into this. This, you know, podcast has kind of two parts to it.
Yeah.
But the first part of it is two questions that every person must answer.
Yeah.
And people are thinking about this more than you realize.
Oh, yeah, they are.
You know, and sometimes on the surface, you don't think people are really open to God, open to trying to figure out who Jesus is, open. But people are more open than you realize. Mm-hmm. And people are searching more than you realize. And there are more people having these types of encounters with God, like Saul of Tarsus, the road to Damascus, encounters with God. God is trying to encounter them, but he still needs certain disciples mm-hmm. to be a part of that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so everyone knows and we'll talk about it, when Saul saw this bright light and Jesus spoke to him audibly, and he was, you know, converted. But he, like, Ananias is the other half of that story. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we forget about that certain disciple named Ananias. So I believe that God, you know, in the times we're in, the season we're in, more and more people are going to be having these road to Damascus experiences where they just really figure out there is a God.
Yeah.
And, you know, who are you? Uh-huh. They can see that there is a God. They just come in, a bright light is shining in their heart. Mm-hmm. And they're realizing, like, you know, I've been lied to. I've tricked myself. I've been deceived. You know, I'm not just here, but from billions of years of evolution. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm not an accident. There is a creator. Mm-hmm. And who are you? So that's the first question that every person must answer. And people are asking it more than you realize.
Yeah.
But who are you? And Saul asked that. So in Acts 9, it says that he was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. And he went to the high priest, asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way. I love that. The way. Whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. There is a strong Antichrist spirit in the world today, and it's been around since Adam and Eve. But, you know, certainly when the church began, there was a strong Antichrist spirit. We're just mm-hmm. after these Christians, the people who are of the way.
Yeah.
And it says, as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? This is something important to realize as believers too. When you feel like this strong Antichrist spirit coming against you, it's not a personal thing. When you think, man, people just really hate Christians, they hate churches, they hate the truth, they hate people who have, you know, stand for marriage and life.
Yeah.
They're not just trying to attack you, they're trying to attack what's in you.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, Saul was at, you know, there when Stephen was martyred, but Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? Mm-hmm. So Jesus takes, you know, he's very much with us in these attacks against what's in us, against him. It's very much against him. It's not against you personally so much. Verse 5, it says, he said, who are you, Lord? So I believe that more and more people are opening up more than we realize, the light shining in their life.
Yeah.
They're realizing there is a God, and they're asking, well, who are you?
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't really answer that question properly. Like, I even see very influential pastors say, well, if God brought this into your life, he'll lead you through it. Like, they aren't answering the question of who is God. No, God does not kill people. He does not steal people. He does not hurt people. He does not bring people into bad situations to try to teach them things. That is not God. So the majority of people who have a large voice for Jesus actually aren't answering that first question. Who are you, Lord? God, he is one true God. He is completely good. In him, there is no darkness at all, period. A lot of people are actually blaspheming the name of God.
Yeah.
They're blaspheming who his character, his heart, his power. You know, God doesn't move today. There's no more miracles today. They aren't answering that first question.
Yeah.
You know, I thank God that Saul went and spoke to Ananias.
Yeah.
You know, he spoke to a certain disciple named Ananias who prayed for him. He received this miraculous healing. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit, prayed in tongues. How do you know that Saul of Tarsus prayed in tongues? Because he writes about it. He said, you know, in tongues, he didn't just speak in a known language, a foreign language. He spoke in a prayer language that he did not understand. That's why Paul, right? I'm sorry to Wesley Huff, who's been, you know, bashing the charismatic movement, been bashing praying in tongues. Wesley Huff, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Praying in tongues, yes, there were miracles where people prayed in tongues and other people heard it in their language.
There are different types of praying in tongues, too.
There are, and you can see it very clearly in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter how intellectually smart you are, mm-hmm. how many, you know, you have to read the Scriptures for what they say. And Paul writes about, I pray in the Spirit,
yeah,
and I pray with my understanding. Mm-hmm. He contrasts.
Yeah.
Understanding, which is you understand it in a known language, versus praying in the Spirit, which means, hey, I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. And when he writes to the church at Corinth, he says you can't just give sermons and have all these people come up in tongues because no one understands it. Mm-hmm. there needs to be some order, some structure. And he's talking, the reason why he's writing this in 1 Corinthians is because it was an unknown thing that they were speaking to each other.
Yeah.
It's a direct language from your heart to God. So my point is this, that a lot of people aren't really answering that first question, who are you, Lord?
Yeah.
They aren't answering it properly. God, he is powerful. He's still pouring out his spirit today. He's a healer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you need to look in the Bible. You need to look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. See who Jesus really is.
Amen.
And the answer is, I am Jesus. And it says, whom you are persecuting, it is hard for you to kick against the goads.
Okay, time out.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to let you know what a goad is. I Googled it. A goad is a pointed stick or rod used to urge animals like cattle or oxen forward. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so significant because I believe that the Holy Spirit, Jesus, had been dealing with him mm-hmm. for a while. Mm-hmm. And he was just trying to figure it out, maybe with his intellect, like what you're talking about, mm-hmm. like with the Wesley Huff thing. When we try to just reason God out in our mind instead of just being led by the Holy Spirit, and we try to do things our own way, we're kicking against the goads. And what's going to happen if you start kicking against a stick or a rod that's pointy? It's going to hurt. Mm-hmm. You're hurting yourself. Mm-hmm. It's not God hurting you. When you actively try to go your own way to figure your life out on your own, to figure God out on your own without, reading the word or being led by the Spirit or getting plugged into a good church, you're hurting yourself. Mm-hmm. And see, people are so full of pride that they won't even recognize that. Instead of saying, oh, it was me, I was the problem, then they try to change it around on everybody else. Mm-hmm. No, they get offended at the church, they get offended at a pastor mm-hmm. or whatever, and say, oh, God, mm-hmm. God's doing this to me. He's taking me into this valley season, out into the wild. No, you're doing it to yourself. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. He said, it's hard for you to kick against the goads. Mm-hmm. You're the one doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And verse 6 in Acts 9, it says, he was trembling and astonished, said, Lord, this is the second question.
I love this. Yeah.
What do you want me to do? So mm-hmm. the moment you realize that there is a God.
Yeah.
Like your life is accountable to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Saul realized this. Like I've been wrong.
Yeah.
My idea of who God was has been completely wrong.
Warped. Yeah.
Now that I know that Jesus is Lord,
mm-hmm. I know who you are.
What do I need to do?
Yeah.
When you know that there's a God, it's going to affect the way you live.
Yes.
And then that's why he's coming against the way, because they were living a certain way.
Yeah.
Christianity is a way. Mm-hmm. It's the truth, it's the life, but it is the way as mm-hmm. well. So it does affect our actions and our life. What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
And really that's the true question that someone who's repenting is going to ask. What do you want me to do, God?
Yeah.
And people are asking this too. Mm-hmm. They're like, maybe I've been doing the wrong thing. Maybe there's something else I should be doing with my life. What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. So he didn't even know yet what he'd be doing. But just do this next step. Go into the city. So verse 7 says, the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. Now we're going to kind of transition into the second part of our topic, is that, God needs to work with you, work with ordinary disciples to reach other people.
Yeah.
God wants to partner with us in reaching other people. And that makes me super excited. Mm-hmm. Like, again, sometimes we think that God only uses, great prophets or great people who have large, impact.
Did you want to say something else?
No.
I have one thing to say. We are tempted to look at like these ministers, these big ministers, and think, oh, I just wish I had that anointing or that gifting or that spiritual gift. But what people fail to realize is those giftings, that calling on that minister's life, is to minister to other people. But when it comes to them living their own life, they have to work with that anointing that abides on the inside of them. Mm-hmm. just like any other believer. So like there's two different anointings. And like, so for us, like, you know, there's an anointing when you stand in the pulpit mm-hmm. and minister, mm-hmm. but that's different. That comes upon you. But there's an anointing that lives on the inside of you for your everyday life. Mm-hmm. And that is what we have to work with when we are living day to day, when we're out in the marketplace, when we're out at our kids' schools, or when we're at the park. Mm-hmm. It's that anointing. Does this make sense to you? Mm-hmm. I just feel like there's a difference when we're ministering to the body, like in church, like in a conference, or like in that type of setting, when those people have come to specifically to receive from the anointing of that minister, mm-hmm. like that calling on their life, mm-hmm. versus that anointing, that spirit-led believer being out in public. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I have a whole teaching on that.
Do you?
Yes, I do actually. So
you probably taught that to me. But
I have a teaching on the anointing that's in you, the anointing that's yes. on you, and the anointing on the body, like a corporate
yeah.
group setting.
But what I'm trying to do is bring down that idea of, oh, well, I can't minister out in public because I'm not a minister, mm-hmm. you know, because we're all ministers. Mm-hmm. And even the ministers have to rely on that anointing in them on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. So basically what I'm trying to say is they're not special. They're not different. They're not more called. They're not more anointed because mm-hmm. they still have to rely on that anointing.
For their marriages and yeah. families and yes. paying their bills and yes. getting along with their neighbors. And yes. and some of them might be great ministers, but
yes.
not the greatest, just people.
I mean, that's the negative take on it. But yeah, you could be a great minister up on the stage, but are you just a good disciple? Are you a good human?
Are you a good husband?
Are you a good husband? Are you a good father? Are you a good mother? Mm-hmm. You know, are you a good friend? Mm-hmm. Because anybody, not just anybody, but those called ministers can be anointed to preach the gospel in like a, you know, church setting, but then behind the scenes could be a totally different story. Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Yeah.
So he goes to see Ananias, and he's there 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. Now, verse 10, a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. I love this, that God is already speaking. You know, he speaks to Saul in different ways. He speaks to Saul audibly, and then he's speaking to Saul now through a vision. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to be speaking to Saul through just a certain disciple.
Yeah.
Like, you see how God speaks in multiple ways, and one way isn't more spectacular than another way.
Right.
You know, and God can, you know, praise God if you've heard him speak to you clearly in an audible voice. Maybe you haven't heard an audible voice. Mm-hmm. Read the Bible out loud.
Yeah.
God will speak to you audibly. That was a joke. Some of y'all should laugh at my jokes.
I don't see any
laughing emojis there.
Just give them a minute. Remember, they're behind us.
I know.
By like, I don't know, what, like a minute, Kevin, or something?
I'll wait to see.
30 seconds? 20 seconds. Okay. Y'all better put some emojis in the comment. Oh, that's funny.
All right.
You know what I love about this? It says, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. Hmm. Rise and go to, yeah.
He probably knew how to pray.
Yeah.
I'm sure he knew how to pray. He's praying. And in a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. So he actually argues, hey, we got some laughing emojis. Good.
Oh, gosh. Somebody
thus
needs
saith
to,
the Lord, you shall.
Somebody needs to laugh at his bad jokes.
Because
me and poor Fisher, we got to hear it all the time, these bad jokes.
Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, I love how the Lord just amps it up here. Ananias actually tries to argue with God.
I can't blame him. I've tried to argue with God a few times.
The Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So God just tells Ananias, gives him a glimpse of the full picture, that he's going to be just a major player in the body of Christ. Verse 17, Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, brother Saul. I love how he just calls him brother.
I could just like picture him. Brother Saul.
The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is kind of interesting. This is actually an example of how the being filled with the Holy Spirit is a different experience from salvation.
Oh, yeah.
So I believe that Saul of Tarsus was saved on the road.
Yeah.
When Jesus spoke to him, he fell off his horse. And 3 days later, he was filled with the Holy Spirit when Ananias laid hands on him and prayed for him. So it says, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he rose and was baptized. So they found a pool of water and baptized him. So you notice that there are three types of important experiences for a believer. It's to repent, receive salvation, say, I'm going to live for Jesus. Secondly, being filled with the Holy Spirit or baptized into the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, water baptism. Verse 19, so when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Notice that, like, he connected then with more disciples.
Yes.
He wasn't just completely on his own. He connected with other disciples, and immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God.
Immediately. I love that. He turned into a minister immediately. And sometimes people are like, well, I'm just not. Well, first of all, let me back up. I think it's really cool that Saul made Jesus Lord. You know, Jesus, he knocked him off his horse. But other than that, you know, you don't have to be a pastor, evangelist, prophet, teacher, apostle to help people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and even baptize people in water. A certain disciple did that. You know, I think we often cut ourselves short and think that we can't do certain things because we're not a minister, or like we don't have like a title, or we don't know enough. Like, bringing it back to what we're talking about, immediately he preached Jesus. He preached the Christ, it says, in the synagogues. And you don't have to know a ton to minister to somebody else, to talk to somebody at Costco or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? People are so, I used to be this way. I used to like be nervous about talking to people about Jesus or the gospel, because I'm thinking like, well, what if they ask me a question I don't know the answer to? You know, I just resolved that I'll say, I don't really know the answer to that. Like, not a big deal, but I'll pray for you. You know, a lot of times people just want prayer. They just need prayer. They just need love. They just need some encouragement. And I don't think I've ever had somebody just, okay, so not too long ago, I prayed for this girl at Cheddar's. And she, you know, I asked if I could pray for her.
She's a waitress there.
Yeah, she was a waitress there. I prayed for her. And she wasn't like, wait a second, I have to ask you this deep theological question about end times, you know, like something that I have no idea about. No, it's just that simple. Like, can I pray for you? Brother Saul, you know?
Yeah, and you prayed for her, you know, gave her a generous tip afterward, but we actually just ran into her last night.
Yeah.
When we had dinner, and she remembered you, and it from like 2 months ago.
I don't even know how long. Yeah, I don't know.
It was probably 2 months ago. But she remembered you, and she was super excited to see you and said, hey, that just really touched me, what you did last time you were here. And I actually was so touched. I went home and talked about it, typed up about it on social media. And just encouraged so many other people.
Yeah.
And it was really, really special.
Yeah.
You know? You really did hear from God in that moment to just.
She was having a really big, it was super busy. I think we went there on like a Sunday after church or something. No, it was a Sunday after church, and they were swamped. And this woman, she did not look like real happy to be there because I'm sure she was just so busy. But I just felt like the Lord wanted me to pray for her. And I did. I was just like, hey, can I pray for you? And just in that moment, I think it just helped her because she was just, it kind of brought the pace down a little bit. Now I'm going to take time and let this woman, I don't know, pray for me, you know? And immediately she had like this big smile on her face. And we talked about how like we don't know what people are going through. And when people look hard, when they look scary, when they look mean, you know, sometimes those are the most soft-hearted people, you know.
Well, the light might be shining in their heart.
The light might be, yeah, that's true.
And, you know, he really is, you know, shining in people's hearts. And you don't know when or how, you know, they're going to give their life to Jesus. So this is something I wanted to share too, the, how God does speak to people. He can speak to people very clearly. He can speak to people through dreams, through visions, but also through pastors, through his word, but even just through ordinary disciples. And everyone needs to pick up that. I talked about it in my notes here that, everyone must pick up the mantle of a certain disciple.
Yes.
Like Ananias, just ministering to people, just not out of like even pastors, like Pastor Lawson. He's very, very anointed.
Yeah.
As a pastor, as an apostle. You know, when I think about what he's done, you know, moving here from a town of 300 people and building this church. You know, we have a a church building that's paid off that's over 100,000 square feet. You know, we minister to 1,000 people a week here locally, but, you know, many, we're on 5 different TV networks. We have people calling in all the time. And just think about how just the, and it's going to keep growing, I know, but it's the building aspect is what's really incredible. I was here 25 years ago when our family moved here and we had our first Sunday with 20 people. Yeah, and I came back that summer when we built our first building and was digging ditches for the electric lines in the parking lot with my brother Peter. You know, I just come home from my first year of grad school at Rice University in Houston. Peter had just come home from his first year of his bachelor's degree at Princeton. We're both working for $10 an hour, just digging. And just to see, you know, in all labor, there is profit. It is supernatural.
It's supernatural. And I think it's so important that we don't just treat, you know, ourselves and the churches we're a part of as common.
Yeah.
Like we are supernatural beings. We carry the Holy Spirit on the inside of us.
Sometimes people pass up really great opportunities too, because it just looks too ordinary.
It looks too ordinary.
You know, that usher team you want me to be a part of is just too ordinary. That worship team,
or the media team,
they're just too ordinary. That, you know, youth ministry you want me to pastor, it's just too ordinary. It's
not ordinary to God.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when people read the Bible, they just kind of fail to realize how ordinary the people were that God used. And not only that, the ones that are in such messes, you know, like the Hebrews 11, Faith Hall of Fame, like the people that God talked about. These are people we see every single day, you know? I just want to like shake them.
Well, I think God likes to use, I mean, and he can use famous people too.
He can use whoever he wants.
You know, he can use people that have, you know, tons of wealth and fame. Like he can minister to them and they can be converted and, you know.
But I love that.
But he
Ananias,
loves to use ordinary people.
Yes, I love that Ananias was never mentioned again. Like that was his.
I kind of wonder if like Paul the apostle ever kept in touch with Ananias.
I'm sure he did.
Like wrote him a letter on occasion, and
I'm sure he did.
Like they reconnected there in Damascus at some
point.
We're
gonna hang out, go have coffee. I know. I bet he did. These are the things I love to think about, though. Like. Because these are real stories of real people. This isn't just fairy tales. You know, it's not a fairy tale.
Yeah.
So.
Super powerful. You know, God, I love this street called Straight.
Me too.
Because that wasn't the only thing that was getting straightened out in this story. You know, like Saul needed to really get straightened out. God loves to take people who need a lot of help. And he's such a helper. You know, this past Wednesday at Youth, we had five of our students actually preach. They preached 5 minutes each, and it was really touching for me and Pastor Heather to just see them all preach and just really just...
It was awesome.
Just communicate so well from their heart and just do a great job. And
in
just,
their own way.
But what like, blessed me that. Even more was that there was a young man, I think he's in the eighth grade, he brought two friends, but one of his friends, I think...
Had never been to church before.
Never been to church before, but came up for prayer and received Christ,
well,
received
both of
salvation.
The friends that he brought came up for prayer.
Yeah. But. And sometimes you think that, you know, to really reach people, to really grow the church, to like...
It's got
to
be some
flashy and you know, everyone has to look a certain way and the vibe has to be a certain way. And, you know, people are very sensitive to the anointing.
They really are.
I want to communicate something really strongly right now.
Go ahead.
Especially in the modern age where there's a lot of technology and AI and media. AI does serve a purpose, you know, and using technology does serve a purpose, but it's not sensitive to the anointing.
Yeah.
And people are sensitive to the anointing. Mm-hmm. They're sensitive to, and AI is not, because it's not spirit. It's artificial.
Yeah.
And I kind of realized this actually recently. I took my son Fisher to a Star Wars concert. The Carter Springs Philharmonic was doing a concert where they play the movie. They played The Empire Strikes Back, Episode 5. And my son Fisher loves Star Wars. So they're playing the movie and the orchestra plays along the whole time. And, you know, and John Williams composed the film score. Years back, I actually did a concert in Santa Barbara at the Santa Barbara Bowl with John Williams conducting his own music, and I got to play in the orchestra, and it sold out 10,000 people, and it was really cool. But what touched me, though, like Fisher kept saying, "I'm going to a movie." I'm like, "This is not a movie, Fisher." like it is in a concert hall with like 2,000 people. It was sold out, 2,000 people, each paying $100 a ticket. I said, "You don't go to a movie and, you know, there's 2,000 people there and everyone paid $100 to go see Star Wars that came out 40 years ago. Like, this is special because, like, the orchestra, it's a live orchestra. Mm-hmm. And people want that connection. They want that something beyond just the normal. You know, so that's why 2,000 people are willing to pay $100 to go see this very ordinary movie that you could access for free anywhere. But they're all willing to pay it because there's something special happening.
Mm-hmm.
So people are sensitive to the anointing, you know, and that's why like your diamond ring, you know, they can do lab diamonds now, artificially made diamonds that are perfect. And they're still a diamond. They're perfect. They're perfect clarity, perfect shine, perfect cut, but they're not worth as much as a just natural diamond.
Yeah.
Even though the natural diamond might have some flaws, it might have some imperfections, some, you know, miscolorings. And it's, you know, artificial intelligence can't capture that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Certainly in the realm of the spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, I never use AI to like write up my notes to minister to people or to minister to the youth. I'll use it to research things sometimes or look up scriptures. But you have to be in tune with what the Spirit of God is doing. And what touched me at youth was that these new students could sense the anointing, the presence of God in that room.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to come up for prayer. They wanted to be a part of what God was doing.
Yeah.
And he was moving through, you know, our student leaders, which was so powerful to see, because it's not just about me. It's not just about you. But it's about what God is doing as a whole.
Yeah. Like how to cultivate the anointing and how to work alongside God.
Yeah. So God's not going to really use AI to expand his kingdom.
No,
or to,
I don't think so.
He's going to use his anointing.
Yeah.
It's going to be the Holy Spirit. So we need to be sensitive to that.
So, but to finish telling the story about the boy that came forward and he...
He ended up getting saved.
Yeah.
And our student leader, Lincoln, who prayed for him, came to me afterward and said, "Hey, I think this young man got saved." I asked him if he'd ever, you know.
So I went and talked to him.
So he wanted to make sure that one of the pastors followed up with him, just make sure he.
Yeah. And I walked up to him and I said, he was sitting at a table in the foyer, and I said, "Hey, did you guys like the service? Because I talked to them before the service started, and they were a little leery. You know, I invited them to pre-service prayer, and they were like, what's going on? So I asked them after the fact, like, what did you like service? And they were like, yes, they were so excited. Mm-hmm. And I said, what did you like the most? And they both said, we liked it when that guy prayed for us. Mm. And I said, oh, that's awesome. I said, what, if you don't mind me asking, like, what did you get prayer for? And one of them said, well, I got prayer for anxiety. And then the other one said, well, this boy introduced me to Jesus. Mm. And I just loved that.
So they knew what had happened.
They know exactly what happened. And it's just amazing. Mm. Amazing. Certain disciples were making in that year.
Yeah, and
group.
I like Dakota that. Said they crushed it. I'm
they
glad Dakota
it.
Was there. Dakota's been an awesome part of our church. And yes, he travels a lot for work, but whenever he's here, he helps a lot wherever at the church. He's a very special certain disciple. And
yes.
Very thankful for.
Yep.
What God's doing, and sometimes you might not think you're playing a super big part, but even...
But you are playing a big part.
You really are.
Because you're part of the body of Christ, and we need everybody.
That's really true.
Yeah.
We've gone for 42 minutes.
Okay, well,
our timer's not on, but I'm wearing my watch, so I...
Well, good. I think you should pray.
I'll pray.
Yeah.
I'll pray. And before I pray, though, make sure you like, subscribe, share this. Mm-hmm. We're trying to build this big time... In preparation for Andrew Womack being live. Andrew Womack is going to be live with us on the Purdue podcast.
Yes, but before that, next week we have Charis Outpouring coming up. And you need to come to Charis Outpouring. It's going to be amazing. Pastor Mark Hankins is going to be here. Pastor Lawson's preaching. Philip Renner's going to be here. Mm-hmm. Who else? You are going to be speaking.
Cornell.
Max Cornell's going to be speaking.
Brian Clark.
Brian Clark's going to be here?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay. And
Cecil.
That's who I was thinking of. Yes. And you need to take time to come to Charis Outpouring. If you can get here, you need to come in person because some things are taught, some things are caught, is what Pastor Mark Hankins always says.
We should take
that clip. The spirit of faith. I know. The spirit of faith is caught. It's taught and caught. But, you know, we're seeing it happen in our Charis youth. Mm-hmm. We're seeing God move. We're seeing faith move, faith open doors for these students. Mm-hmm. And I want to see that in our sanctuary with our adults. Mm-hmm. I want to see our adults get on fire for God. So, and register for free today. Mm-hmm. You can register for free at charisoutpouring.com.
And we live stream all those main sanctuary services too.
Yeah, but you need to get here in person if you can come.
Yeah.
You can live stream, but you need to get here in person. And if you have kids, you need to bring them because we have a great kids portion of Charis Outpouring. And Pastor Aaron and I are going to be with the youth Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. And listen, this takes a ton of work and we enjoy doing it and we love doing it. We love throwing parties for these kids. And we love seeing these kids get born again. So bring your kids.
Cool. I'm going to close in prayer.
Okay, go ahead.
God, I just thank you for everyone watching this right now, live, everyone watching it after the fact, Lord. I just thank you that we all are anointed and called and just have, you're leading us and guiding us to places to minister to people who've just seen the light, who want to know who you really are and need to know what to do. What should I do with this revelation that Jesus is Lord and I need to live for him? So I just thank you, Lord, that you're helping us, just leading us as sons and daughters by your Holy Spirit. We just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to be live again next week.
We're going to be fired up too.
Fired up because we're going to be getting geared up for outpouring.
Yes.
The big camp meeting experience week. So we'll see you again very soon. Love you guys. Take care and be sure to like and subscribe.